All right, so Keep to the City Yankees podcast, and the Yankees win 4-2 in Toronto over the Blue Jays to win this four-game series, 3-1. They make up 2 games on the Blue Jays and now are in a virtual tie in the standings with the Blue Jays, just separated by percentage points now. And with the Rays losing back-to-back games against the Mets, the Yankees have chipped off a game against the Rays. So now they're just 7 back in the loss column there. Which, you know, that missed opportunity against the Rays, where there's probably 2 games they should have won. Instead of going 3-4 against the Rays, they go 5-2. And instead of being 7 back in the loss column, they're 3 back. So that just goes to show how each game is so important. And each of these division games is so important that I hate when people say it's early. You know, when it was April, it was April. When it's May, it's before Memorial Day. And then when it's June, it's not even the All-Star break yet. All these games matter. All these games are important. The difference between reaching the postseason and not is likely to come down to a game or two. The difference between playing in the best of 3 wildcard series on the road or at home is going to come down to a game or two. The difference between playing in the best of 3 or winning the division is going to come down to a game or two and getting that bye to the ALDS. So all these games are important. Every single game is important. Think about 2 years ago when the Yankees had to go on the road for the wild card game because they finished in a tie with the Red Sox and the Red Sox won the season series. How many games in that season could you look at and say, hey, if they just won that one game, they're hosting it, and maybe that postseason turns out differently? All of these games matter. All of these games are important, and Thursday's was massively important. It's a game against a team you're chasing. It's a game against a team you're competing for a postseason berth. It's a big game, and the Yankees won that game. And they won it with Nestor Cortes having his best start of the season, getting into the seventh inning, pitching well, allowing just the one run on the solo home run to Bichette early in the game. Aaron Judge homers again. The Yankees are able to get insurance runs when they needed it, and it was a good win, a really solid win for the Yankees. A much-needed win, especially now as they head to Cincinnati this weekend, which we'll get to later. But the game, for the Yankees taking an early lead and then kind of hanging on the rest of the game, it was dicey. And it was dicey in the seventh inning where Nestor Cortes allows leadoff man to get on. And then Aaron Boone goes to the bullpen. And he doesn't go to the elite relievers clinging to a 2-run lead with a tying run at the plate and 9 outs to go. He goes to Ryan Weber. And I don't say this jokingly. There's no sarcasm here. Ryan Weber is the worst pitcher in Major League Baseball. The worst. He has a sinker and a changeup that are basically thrown at the same speed. So there's no disparity there. So his changeup is kind of his fastball, mid to high 80s. And then he has a breaking ball. He either misses with all 3 pitches so far out of the zone that's an easy take, or it's middle-middle and it's hammered. We saw this last week against the Rays when he came in and just gave up 115-mile-hour line drives to every batter he faced. And he doesn't get swings and misses. He doesn't miss bats. So he has to come in the zone. And when he comes in the zone, they hit missiles. And I think his whole goal is just to hope that they're hit directly at fielders. And that's kind of what happened on Thursday night. He comes in, he gives up a first-pitch missile to left field to put the tying run on base now. And then he's able to work his way out of it as the balls are all hit at fielders. And that's the only way he can get out of an inning. So he gives up the 1 run. The inherited runner scores from Cortes. The Yankees don't score in the 8th. So then it's the bottom of the 8th. And it's still a 1-run lead. And Albert Abreu comes in. And Albert Abreu should not be on the Yankees. I mean, neither should Ryan Weber. But here we are. And Albert Abreu, who the Yankees traded away after 2021. To the Rangers in the Jose Trevino deal. Then he gets traded by the Rangers to the Royals, cut by the Royals. The Yankees pick him back up. All he does last year is ruin every opportunity he got in the second half of the season. All he's done this year is just be abysmal. He comes into this game and he has his best outing as a Yankee. His best outing in his career. If you had never seen Albert Abreu pitch last night and he came in, you would say, wow, who the fuck is this guy? But I was also saying, who the fuck is this guy? Because who was he? Where is that guy all the other times? Where's that pitcher when they need him all the other times? He pitches a 1-2-3 scoreless 8th, gets 2 strikeouts, and the Yankees go to the 9th. They get an insurance run from the Anthony Volpe home run, his first home run away from Yankee Stadium, turned around, an inner half Nate Pearson fastball. I think it was at 99 miles an hour and just hits a line drive. It looked like a Stanton home run down the line. Hits the foul pole and gives the Yankees a two-run lead. And then Marinaccio comes in for the ninth, where you feel some relief because he's actually a major league caliber reliever, and he closes the door and the Blue Jays and the Yankees win. Now, the result was what you wanted. Weber protected the lead. Abreu protected the lead. Marinaccio closed the door. No issue with Marinaccio. He belongs. He's a major league reliever. But to have Weber and Abreu there because of the bullpen budget and the rules that we always see, yes, show the graphics for, the Yankees won't use a reliever 3 days in a row. They won't use King on back-to-back days. It just is so tired. It's so tired. Like Boone called the battle with the Yankees dugout, the Blue Jays the other night, tired and silly. That's what the bullpen budget and rules are. It's tired and it's silly and it's meaningless and it's just, it doesn't do anything. There's no science to keeping pitchers healthy. You want to keep them healthy? Don't have them pitch. Don't throw a baseball overhand at 100 miles an hour or 90 plus miles an hour if you don't want to get hurt. If you don't want to hurt your elbow, you don't want to hurt your shoulder, that's the only way. Because if you pitch an inning, you get a day off. If you pitch back-to-back days, you can't pitch the next day. None of that means anything. The Yankees have been running these dumb rules out since really the end of the Joe Torre era, beginning of the Joe Girardi era, after Torre would go to the same guy, you know, 4 or 5 days in a week. You remember the Jabba rules for Jabba Chamberlain. They didn't prevent him from getting hurt and needed Tommy John surgery. The Yankees have done everything they can possibly since 2015 to protect Luis Severino. The guy, all he does is get hurt. He's made 22 starts in the last 4 years. Jordan Montgomery had Tommy John surgery. James Paxton went down with surgery. Jonathan Loaisiga can never stay healthy. Tommy Kahnle needed Tommy John surgery with the Yankees. Chad Green lost to Tommy John surgery. Lou Trevino lost to Tommy John surgery. Scott Efros needs shoulder surgery. These rules, these ideas, these just silly restrictions, they don't do anything. They're not preventing or protecting anyone. Michael King had the same rules in the past. He fractured his elbow pitching last year. And because of these rules, Holmes was unavailable because he pitched the last two games. Peralta was unavailable because he pitched the last two games, even though he threw 13 pitches in 2 days. He can't go out there and pitch. And then King was unavailable because he threw the day before. So you're left with the idea that you're going to have Marinaccio in the ninth no matter what, which it made a lot more sense to have him earlier than the ninth. But if you're saying, okay, he's pitching the ninth and you have to get two more innings of outs, and all you have as options are Weber and Abreu, there's a problem. The rules are a problem. The roster construction's a problem. The pitching depth in the organization is a problem. It takes a lot of problems to get to the point where you're playing the Blue Jays in Toronto, the tying run's at the plate with no outs, and you have to have Ryan Weber pitch. Whether or not he got out of it is not what we're talking about. It's the decision to get there. If you drive drunk home and you make it home, you didn't make the right decision. Just because the result is what you wanted, you got home safely, doesn't change the fact that you made the wrong decision. Getting through that game with Weber and Abreu doesn't change the fact that those were just horrific choices. And then after the game, Boone's laughing about it, saying that it was Nestor and the Funky Bunch tonight. It's not a joke. The Yankees lose that game. They're 2 games back of the Blue Jays. It was the difference last night between being tied with the Blue Jays and falling 2 games back. It would have been a missed opportunity to make up a game on the Rays who lost to the Mets. All of that, and he's there laughing about his choices. And it's, you know, it's not all on him. He didn't create this roster. He's not the one signing these guys, calling them up, keeping them on the roster, but he's the one utilizing them. And as I wrote at Keep the City earlier in the week, as long as Albert Abreu is on the Yankees, Boone will use him. He's not infatuated with him like he was in the past, like he was at the end of 2021 when he's asking him to close out games in the final weekend against the Rays, which helped the Red Sox get home field in the wild card game. He doesn't like him as much as he did last year where he used him too much. Abreu is on the brink of not being a Yankee, and then he had that outing. And now, yes, he protected the lead, but all that outing did was buy him a few more months as a Yankee now, give him a multitude more chances to ruin games that I'll have to sit through, that other Yankees fans will have to sit through. So, yes, the result was there. The Yankees won. They're fortunate to have won. They did everything they could to blow the lead and give the game to the Blue Jays in the seventh and eighth inning. That's a problem. And hopefully it's less of a problem because Tommy Kahn is down on a rehab assignment now. Luis Severino starting Sunday. The Yankees are getting healthier. But, you know, they get two guys back, so they have to give two guys away, it seems like. So now Ian Hamilton's down on the IL with a groin problem. Jose Trevino lands on the IL with a hamstring issue. They can't just get guys back and build on what should be an everyday expected roster. They have to get guys back and then give guys. It's frustrating. Their injury issues continue to be an issue. Even though Hal Steinbrenner told Meredith Marinkovic in spring training that the Yankees are doing everything right when it comes to injuries. They have more injuries than any team in the last 5 years, but they're doing everything right. So to get out of Toronto with a series win in four games, given the state of the rotation, the state of the bullpen, the lineup being only half full at best of major league caliber bats is impressive. It was a good 4 days in Toronto. It was a good series win. It was a great series win. And now they go to Cincinnati, where the Reds are on pace to finish somewhere with, you know, 90 to 100 losses. They're a bad team. This is a team the Yankees need to go stack wins against. I'm talking sweep, not just go there and win two or three. Go there and sweep them the way they did the A's when they came to the stadium last week. Because the rest of the AL East is beating up on the bad teams. And the Yankees have to do their part. They have to hold their own against the good teams like Toronto and Tampa and Baltimore and even Boston and beat up on the bad teams. Because that's how the Rays got off to the start they did. Now the Rays are playing better teams. They're coming back to the pack a little bit. The Yankees have to do the same. They have to go to Cincinnati and beat the crap out of the Reds, who suck. They suck. They're bad. They're horrible. They're awful. Last year, they lost 100 games, and the Yankees, during their second half swoon there, only managed to win one of the three games against them, all at the stadium, and their one win was a 10th inning walk-off. That can't happen here. They cannot be giving a series to the Reds. Not when they dicked around for the second half of April and beginning of May and put themselves in this hole. Got to keep climbing out of the hole. Can't go back. Can't be losing games to the Reds. You want to lose a series to the Blue Jays or the Rays? Fine. That's going to happen. Can't lose series to the Reds if you want to take yourself serious as a contender, because the other teams in the AL East, they're not going to lose series to the Reds. So this weekend is a big series, because like I said at the beginning of this podcast, every series is big, every game is big. And Luis Severino's back on Sunday. That's an 11:35 a.m. start, so extra early. I like that start. I wish every Sunday was that early. You give me earlier than that. Give me 10 a.m. if you have to. But 11:35 on Sunday, that shouldn't be a once-a-year thing. That should be a multiple-times-a-year thing. So you've got the Yankees and Reds, 6:40 on Friday night. Clark Schmidt going, just hope for the best there. Not really any expectations that he'll do well. You hope the offense shows up, especially in that ballpark where the ball will fly out of. And then on Saturday, 4:10 start time. I think you're going to see the opener, Jimmy Cordero again with Brito behind him. And then on Sunday morning, 11:35, Luis Severino's back. So big series, big weekend in Cincinnati. First game on Friday night. I'll be back after the game to talk about it. Thanks for listening. Talk to you after Friday's game.